A year and a half into the pandemic, broad rules on workplace COVID safety. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. President Biden announced Thursday that businesses with more than 100 employees must require their workers to be vaccinated against COVID or to test them weekly. These new rules would go through OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. David Michaels used to run OSHA under the Obama administration. He's also an epidemiologist and professor at the George Washington University School of Public Health.
The White House has finally realized that OSHA is a key component of the public health infrastructure. You know, the OSHA law is very clear and straightforward. It says every employer must provide their employees with a safe workplace. And as the pandemic rages, killing hundreds every day, limiting the presence in the workplace to workers who are vaccinated or who test negative, that'll be a very effective way to slow the pandemic.
President Biden has said that employers who don't comply with these rules will face fines of up to $14,000 per violation. How do you enforce that? What will that look like?
You know, this is not so much about enforcement. OSHA standards are powerful tools to change conditions at thousands of workplaces simultaneously without OSHA ever having to inspect. Most employers are law-abiding. Employers want their workers to be safe, but many have been hesitant to require vaccinations. Now they can say the federal government is requiring it. And many workers will feel more confident about returning to work. But also, they'll be able to complain to OSHA if employers aren't complying with new requirements. And OSHA can send out inspectors and they can issue fines. But I think that'll be the exception. I think most employers will move forward and do the right thing.
David Michaels is an epidemiologist and professor at the George Washington University School of Public Health. He served as head of OSHA in the Obama administration. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Grocery chain Kroger reports earnings later today. Like many supermarkets, it saw big growth during the pandemic, but that growth is going to be hard to match with people spending less time at home. In August, Kroger said it's going to try something new, working with so-called ghost kitchens. These are restaurants that only do delivery and takeout. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Ghost kitchens, like the Kitchen United in Pasadena, California, have become a pandemic success story. You order online or from a bank of kiosks in an otherwise empty storefront.
Okay, I can choose between 24.
There are 24 different restaurant menus.
Fried chicken, barbecue, tacos, salads.
All cooked by one staff in one kitchen in the back. Soon, Kroger will bring this model into its stores.
It actually helps grocery stores and delivery restaurants solve a problem for the other.
Joel Rampolt is a retail consultant with Alex Partners.
Grocery stores tend to be in great locations. They're near where the customers are. But most grocery stores are actually too big, whereas restaurants have the opposite problem.
Rampolt says the combination could attract consumers looking for convenience who may have pulled back a bit on costly deliveries. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
This weekend marks 20 years since the 9/11 terrorist attacks. One legacy of that day has been an expansion of the federal government. New agencies were created, Homeland Security, the TSA. More money was spent on counterterrorism. But putting a number on just how much money was spent is a complicated endeavor. Here is Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
This much we know. President Biden has included about $52 billion for the Department of Homeland Security in his 2022 budget request. The TSA is part of DHS and generally gets a roughly 10% slice of DHS's budget, according to Heidi Peltier. She's director of the 20 Years of War Project at Boston University.
The entire budget for the Department of Homeland Security has been roughly $1 trillion. Cumulative since 2003.
It's not so easy to tally up what the U.S. has spent on counterterrorism since 9/11. The DHS didn't respond to my interview request, and counterterrorism spending extends beyond the agency. Mackenzie Eaglin, a defense analyst at the American Enterprise Institute, tries to track counterterrorism spending, but
There's no simple way to do that, partly because I think there's obfuscation partly by dysfunction and partly by design.
Eaglin says some spending by intelligence agencies is classified, and there's not even a government-wide definition of what counts as counterterrorism spending, so it can't be broken out of agency budgets and added up. There's also less transparency now. 3 years ago, the Office of Management and Budget stopped tallying up the counterterror budget. Eaglin's best estimate is 15 to 20% of all discretionary government spending per year goes to prevent terror attacks.
And if you were to look holistically back since 9/11, it's a number easily over $3 trillion.
Eaglin says if you can't fully track and account for each of those dollars, it's hard to know if the money was well spent or effective. But the U.S. hasn't had another terrorist attack on the scale of 9/11. Eric Dahl is a retired naval intelligence officer now teaching at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California.
We have been able to keep this country much safer than we had expected 10, 20 years ago.
Although Dahl says DHS needs to allocate more resources toward tracking threats from domestic terrorism. And with the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, no one I spoke to thinks overall spending on counterterrorism will shrink anytime soon. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.